Friends, I come from Central India, not Andhra Pradesh, as spelt in the introduction. I work in Chhattisgarh, which is a state in Central India. It is largely populated by indigenous people, and we have a large geographical area covered by forests also. And this region has been known as the rice bowl of India, because it is generally rain-dependent agriculture region, but still produces a lot of rice, and also because it has the largest diversity in rice genetic resources. So I have not prepared, like other expert panel here, I have not prepared a comprehensive presentation here. So I would like to give an oral presentation, and I hope I will be able to convey whatever messages or whatever concerns I have with you. All of you being so tired, listening to many people and sharing many experiences all throughout the day, I won't take more than 15 minutes, I hope. Before going to the actual situation in Chhattisgarh, I think we need to have a look at I've been given 7 minutes, so so it becomes all the more easy. So I don't need to say much, but still I have to go back to the Indian situation, essentially because you all have been hearing about the growth story in India. We are having an annual growth rate of 8 to 9%, so it's sometimes it's threatening to the north also. U.S. President has been saying the growth story in India and China is creating the food crisis situation in the world, because we are a growing economy and a growing middle class which is eating more. But I would like to take you back to the real story of Indian agriculture, a little bit of history and politics of Indian agriculture. It is very important to understand the future scenario. The so-called Green Revolution, which has, before the growth story, what is known about India and discussed about India is the Green Revolution, the story of Green Revolution, that India has become self-sufficient in food through the adoption of Green Revolution technologies. But if you look at the real strategies of Green Revolution, you will see the interests of U.S. being pushed. U.S. in the sense capitalist world, who wanted to promote certain technologies and their markets. I would like to quote some of the I don't have enough time, so I don't know whether I will be able to convey fully. The understanding of U.S. in the 50s, early 50s and early 60s was the biggest problem in a world of economic policy for increased investment was a problem of underdevelopment. This southern countries are not developed, so there is not enough markets or enough opportunities for us. So the correct response will be the widening of the interest of U.S. in these countries. And for this, the first objective of U.S. policy should be a drive to increase food production in the underdeveloped areas by just 25%. So that they are brought barely above the minimum needed for food, maintaining a certain level of food and health. The drive was to be followed by further by raw material development and extraction, and finally increased exports to these countries, manufactured goods to these countries from US and Europe. So this is the ideology which has driven Green Revolution, and the driving forces were, of course, all of you who are aware of the CGIAR systems, International Rice Research Institute and the CIMIT, where both this Green Revolution technologies of rice and wheat has been developed and pushed internationally in the research systems and national research systems. This has been founded by Ford and Rockefeller. Foundations which are, of course, all of you know, some of you might be involved with them also. are the social engineers. We are now dealing with the genetic engineering, but this has been the social engineering tools of promoting US interests. And they are still very much present amongst us, and they are continuing to do the same job even now. So we must be aware of these political realities also. And where they have taken us, especially India, if you see the so-called myth of Green Revolution, what we had prior to Green Revolution, the food availability we had was about 171 kilograms per capita per annum. And according to the latest available in government records, which I have right now with me, is 176 was in 1995, which has been achieved in 1995. That is from 171 to 176 kilograms per capita. This is the success of Green Revolution. And if you look at further down, after 95, it has gone down. Now it's almost about 150 kilograms per annum per capita. And if you get into a little bit detail, the quality of this per capita availability of food is much, much low. It will not measure up to even half in terms of nutrition of what we had before Green Revolution. So this is the reality of Green Revolution, which has been a success story of so-called Indian food self-sufficiency. And this is what has been pushed by US interests, meddling with our politicians and bureaucrats. And what we had a brief idea of the biocultural heritage, which was part of our heritage, our traditional farming systems, indigenous knowledge system, is we had, right now we have about 40,000 rice accessions with the NBPGR. In our own state, there is about 23,000 rice varieties, similar with other crop varieties. So we have about a million crop genetic resources available with different research centers and even in fields and farmers' fields. So this is the patrimony, this is the heritage which we can depend, which had provided us earlier in the past our nutrition and our livelihoods, and these are the resources. But if you look at the policy framework we have in terms of the so-called CBD compliant laws like the biodiversity law, the plant variety law, and all that, there's no clear understanding of how communities' rights on these resources, which is the solution for future, will be ensured. So I've been told that my time is limited, so I'm not going too much into anything. But this is the reality. We have no policy framework which will ensure that our livelihoods, the resources which we are to depend to meet the needs of nutrition, to meet the challenges of climate change, to improve the very poor nutritional food situation in India, we have no policy framework to see that our heritage resources are restored to us and we can freely develop and sustain along with our cultures and improve our food and nutrition situation and the economic conditions of our communities. Thank you.